Can I turn your attention to the Word of God and to John's Gospel, chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 4. Just when you're turning to that passage of God's Word, can I say it's my privilege to be here today. It's a joy, and that it's always a privilege to preach the Word of God. I've been here for a year and in almost 6 months, a year and 5 months. It has been a joy to serve with you. I've gained many friends in this congregation. And I've been saying to some of the people as I've been going around visiting in the past few weeks, some have said, "Will we see you again?" Well, yes, you will. Because if I'm driving through Ballymoney, I might just very unexpectedly drop in for a cup of tea. Because you might take the man out of Ballymena, but you can't take the Ballymena man. You can't take the Ballymena out of a man, because if I can get a free cup of tea, I'll be calling in to get it. You can be assured of that. So it has been a privilege to have been here. And just before I speak tonight, maybe I can just take a minute or two and thank you more thoroughly, because it has been a blessing. And I want to just mention that tonight before we come to God's Word this evening. But this morning, as we turn our attention to the Scriptures, I want you to go to John chapter 4. I trust you're already there. I will read the first couple of verses here to get the idea of what's happening. John chapter 4 and the verse number 1. "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph." His son Joseph, yes. "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." And then we'll jump down to verse number 27. Verse 27. "And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." Amen. We'll end our reading of God's word there. My goal today is to speak by the will of God, for the saint, and for the sinner. This morning, obviously, we want to deal with the will of God, for his children, for his people. And then this evening, the will of God for the sinner. Before we go any further, let's join together in a word of prayer. We'll seek the Lord. Can I ask you again, you pray that the Lord speaks to your soul. None of us are here this morning just for the sake of it. You want to hear the word of God. You pray the Lord should speak to you today. Our gracious God and loving eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to sit around the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we ask of thee, make it a time where we hear the voice of God ministering unto our souls. Lord, thou art the one who sitteth upon the throne of heaven. Lord, you do according to thy will. Lord, teach us your will. Lord, guide us that we may walk aright. Lord, the truth of the matter is, our life here is brief. And therefore, Lord, we ask of thee, give us the burden to serve. Give us the burden to obey. the word of our God, thy will. Lord, be with us therefore. Give power to preach. But Lord, give power to hear. And may the Spirit of God apply the word, Lord, as thou dost see fit. Lord, come and bless us today. And be one of our number. We ask these things, Lord, because you've bought us with your blood. Come now and bless us. And do us good, we pray. Amen and amen. John 4 and the verse 34 is our text here. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Now when you eat meat, what happens? Well, your body draws nutrients from that meat and it strengthens and it revitalizes you. That's the kind of phraseology that the Lord is using here. When you take meat, it revitalizes and strengthens you. But dear child of God, let me ask, could it be that for some time you're not revitalized, you're not strengthened? Rather, you're drained. You have no energy to attend to the things of God. You're spiritually exhausted and lethargic. There can be many reasons for God's people to be like that. But maybe, could one reason be that you no longer are, as it were, seeking to accomplish God's will on this earth? You've lost sight of that. Lost sight of trying to serve God and fulfill his will. You see, if you're not eating of this spiritual meat that Christ is talking about, you're not going to be revitalized, you're not going to be strengthened, you'll be weak and tired. Now God's purpose, God's plan, God's will shall always be accomplished. His divine will shall always be done in this world. But men and women, the more that you and I take time to serve the Lord and seek to accomplish his will in this earth, it's going to be good for you and me. It's going to strengthen. It's going to revitalize us. Our corrupt, fallen minds always draws our attentions and our wants to fulfilling our own will, our own plan, and doing our own desire as we should see fit. And in a sense, that's like, I'd liken it to eating an extra large portion of chocolate fudge ice cream. When we think about doing our own will, it might look good to us, might even taste good while we're doing it, while we're eating it, like an extra large portion of chocolate fudge ice cream. But when you eat it, usually, if you don't feel sick, you'll feel tired. You'll feel lethargic because you're not going to draw good, healthy nutrients from an extra large portion of chocolate fudge ice cream. No, you need to be taking the meat. And what is meat? Well, it's doing and living for the will and the service of God. Isn't it true that when you go and do something for the Lord, you speak a word in season, you tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, you're encouraged, you're revitalized, you're strengthened. I think it's true to say that in our prayer meetings, if there's a week or two goes by and you don't pray, you begin to become lethargic in your prayer life, and before you know it, you never pray. But when you do pray, that hunger begins to develop and grow, and you pray all the more. The more you do for the Lord, the more spiritually you're revived and strengthened, and the more you'll pray on doing because you're eating God's meat. You're doing as well. You're doing a service. What is the will of God? What is the will of the Father? Now, I'm not speaking at this point about God's will for you. I'm asking you, what do you think is the will of God? As Christ says here, what is the will of the Father? What's the Lord's plan? What is the Lord seeking to accomplish in this world? Let me tell you. Well, there's many things, but one aspect that I want to highlight this morning. He is seeking the salvation of his people. and their sanctification. The salvation and the sanctification of his people. That's God's will. The Saviour goes on, they say here in verse 34, let's look at it again. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. The Saviour says here that, yes, it's his meat to do the Father's will, but it's his meat also to finish it. Only doing part of God's, as it were, God's will, of course, Christ's will also. Only doing part of God's will doesn't suffice. It must be finished. And what's the Lord doing here in John chapter 4? What is he doing? He's evangelizing. He met this woman at the well, and he's speaking to her about her need of salvation, about the water of life for her to drink freely of it and therefore be saved. What he's doing here is he's doing the will of God bit by bit by bit with this thought in mind that he's going to accomplish, that he's going to finish God's great and perfect will. What was the last words of Christ on the cross? Can anybody tell me? What were the last words of Christ on the cross? It is finished. That was Christ's goal, to finish the will of his Father. Now I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2 here. This is worthwhile considering. Luke chapter 2 and the verse 49. These are the words of Christ here. The whole scripture is verse 49. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Who's he saying this to? He's saying this to his mother, Mary, and Joseph. Maybe it's just worthwhile pointing out in passing here. Look at verse number 43 with me. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. You see what the Word of God calls Christ's parents here? Joseph and his mother. Just in passing, because it was drawn to my attention yesterday, as I looked at this, this is where the NIV version gets it wrong. You see here the purity of the Authorized Version here. Because the NIV says that his parents knew it not. There's a vast difference there. Because the Word of God specifically says it was Joseph and his mother, not his parents. You see the difference? You see, when it says Joseph and his mother, that's emphasizing the virgin birth. His mother was Mary. And you see, the NIV covers up the virgin birth there. And if you cover up the virgin birth, you're covering up the gospel. Do I say that in passing? Because it's important to note here at this point. So, Luke chapter 2 and the verse number 49. We have the first recorded words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? I must be about my Father's business. What's Christ saying there? I must be working. I must be laboring to accomplish the will of my Father. So the first reference, and let's get this, the first reference to Christ speaking, he is saying here that he must be about the work of his Father, accomplishing his Father's will. What's his last words on the cross? He says it is finished. What's finished? The will of God. Do you know what's striking about that? His last words and everything in between is focused on one thing. Doing the will of the Father. Doing the will of God. What is the will of God? Well, the salvation and the sanctification of his people. Let me put that to you another way. God's will is to take people like you and me who are lost in sin and bring us into a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God. And then he takes us and he makes us more like Christ. That's our salvation. And that's our sanctification. And go back with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. That's exactly what Christ is doing here. He's seeking. He's here to search. He's here to get this woman and see her salvation. But he's also sanctifying his disciples here. Because look what he's doing. He says to the disciples about his meat is his Father's will. What he means there, what he's saying to these disciples is that my meat, my greatest necessity, isn't the hunger of my flesh. It's doing the will of God. Accomplishing God's will. So he's bringing about the salvation and the sanctification of his people. Brothers and sisters, if you want to do the will of God, let me define it in a few words for you. If you want to do the will of God, you follow Christ. That's it. Do you remember when Christ came to the disciples? Do you remember what he said to them? Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. See, let's put that into a formula. Christ says, if you follow me, you're doing the will of God. And you'll be made a man, a woman who wins souls for Christ. Follow him. That's God's will. What happens? You'll see people won for Christ. That's true on an individual level. That's true on a church level. That's true on a denominational level. You follow Christ. You're doing God's will. You'll see people won for the Lord. But what does it mean? What does it really mean to follow Christ? It's not sufficient for me just to stand here and tell you go and follow Christ. What does that mean? How do you follow Christ? He's not here to physically follow. So what do we do? Well, as I've already intimated, following Christ is doing God's will. And what is God's will? God's will is the salvation and the sanctification of his church. That almost sounds like one of the catechisms, doesn't it? What is God's will? God's will is so on. It's the salvation and the sanctification of his people. Well, that brings us to a question here. What is God's will for me to do? What's God's will for you to do in his great plan of salvation and sanctification? You see, very often people ask me, how do I know what God's will is for me? How do I know what God's will is for my life? And straight away, our tendency is to look into ourselves and see our gifts and see our circumstances and what we can do for the Lord. If you want to find out what God's will is for you, you lift up your eyes and you look to the throne of heaven where the Almighty God sits. And you do what he is doing. That's God's will for your life. What's God doing? He's saving and sanctifying his people. What do? You seek to accomplish that will, God's will, in this earth, seeing people saved and the saints sanctified. Time's flying on, and what I want to do here very quickly in the next 10 minutes that's of our time is to highlight just two things: doing God's will and knowing God's will. You see, what is God's will for you and for me to do in his great plan of salvation? Well, let's find out. Doing God's will. This might surprise some of you, but God's general will for his people is very clearly preached in the Word of God. It's very clearly set out. What's God's will for you, child of God, today? Every one of you. Well, the Bible tells us, here's a few things. Praying to the Lord. We ought to be praying unto the Lord our God. It's God's will for you and I to pray. He commands us to pray. He invites you to the throne of grace to pray. It's His will for you and I to pray. And so there's no doubt at all that God would have His people to be a people of prayer, but He would also have His house to be a place of prayer. And God's house, yes, is to be a place of prayer, but it's made up of individuals who pray. Do you remember what was said in Luke 19, verse 46 there? The Lord came to rebuke those money changers. And He said to them, "My house is a house of prayer, but you have made a den of thieves." It was no longer a house of prayer. Men and women, Ballymoney Free Presbyterian Church, every church we have or denomination must be a house of prayer, but it won't be a house of prayer unless the people are a people of prayer. That's a fact. I want to be very direct. I want to be honest. If you're not praying, if you've no desire to pray, can I ask you why? Could it be you've no desire to pray anymore because you have no desire to see the will of God accomplished in this world? You've lost a vision. You've lost a passion to see God's work of salvation and His people being sanctified. You've lost that. Because surely, if you want to see God's will accomplished in this world, you'll be praying for this. God's people to be brought in and saved. His elect brought in and saved. And those same people sanctified. We ought to be a people who are praying. We ought to be a people who know the Word of God. I want you to turn with me to Joshua here very quickly. Joshua chapter 1 and the verse number 8. It says here, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That word meditate means to study. It means to know it, get a hold of it, and understand it. See, I want you to note here, I didn't say it's God's will for you to read the Word of God. I want you to note my wording carefully here. I didn't say it's God's will for you to read the Word of God. I said it's God's will for you to know the Word of God. You see, reading is only a means that brings us to an end. You read something because you have to get to know it. And the only way you'll know it is by reading it. And we all probably fall into the trap at some point in our Christian life. We sit down and do our devotions in the morning and we read whatever passage. And then we think to ourselves, well, we have accomplished God's will for this part of my devotions. Even though we've understood absolutely nothing that we just read. You see, it's not God's will for us to go from Genesis to Revelation, reading this book, blocking out all thoughts, all motion whereby we can understand it. No, it's God's will for us to know this book. It's God's will for us to meditate, to know His Word. I'm reminded of the words of the Reverend Douglas. He said to me some time ago when we were talking about the ministry. Here's what he said. "At the beginning of my ministry, I took one chapter each day. And I didn't leave that chapter until I understood it." That's why he knows the book today. He took it chapter by chapter. And he got a hold of it. What's God's will? It's for us to be people of prayer, praying to the Lord, knowing His Word. It's God's will for us to be attending the communion table. That's God's will, to be attending the communion table. You see, the Scripture says, we'll not turn to it a second time, but it says, "This do in remembrance of me." That's a command. That's God's command to you and me. "This do in remembrance of me." You see, you and I don't have to sit down and pray to the Lord, "Lord, should I be at your table?" No. No, God says you have to be here. If you're walking with the Lord, if you're not living in outward sin, your place is to be at God's table. That's His will for your life. Sometimes circumstances come up, maybe health or whatever, which prevent us getting there. The Lord knows that. Men and women, when occasion permits, you make sure you're regularly attending the Lord's table. What about being baptized? Being baptized. Do you know that's God's will for His people? That's, again, a command from God's Word. Let me take you to a couple of passages. Actually, I'll just read them to you to see if you turn them. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 12. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the same and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Chapter 10 and the verse number 47. Again, it deals here with this act of baptism. Verse 47. Can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? I can mention to you 10 other verses where salvation and baptism goes together. I'm not trying to push any particular view of baptism, but what I want to show to you here is if you're saved, God has clearly told us you're to be baptized. They go together. Again, this isn't something the child of God has to pray about. God has said that's what you have to do, to be baptized. Evangelizing the lost is another thing that God's people have to do. I'm not going to even deal with that because you know it's your duty to evangelize, to speak a word in season. But can I say this? You can't evangelize unless you have a good testimony yourself. Because the ungodly see a hypocrite. You have to be walking with the Lord to serve Him. So, we have to be a praying people. Praying to the Lord. Knowing His Word. Attending the communion table. Being baptized. Evangelizing the lost. One last thing I want to mention to you under doing God's will. It's being Christ-like. That's God's will for you. To be Christ-like. The will of God is for you and me to be Christ-like. Now how do you and I become more Christ-like? By doing the things that I've just mentioned. By being baptized. Romans 6:9 speaks about that when we're baptized onto His death and so on. And you see, the mode of baptizing shows that we are becoming more like Christ. We're dying on to this world and we're living on to Christ. Attending the communion table. The more we meditate on Christ, the more we fall in love with Christ for the things that He has done for us, for the death that He has accomplished, the more we'll be like Him because we love Him all the more. We'll reflect Him more. Knowing the Word of God. I want to turn you to this verse. How do we become more Christ-like? Being baptized, attending the communion table, knowing God's Word. I want to turn you to 2 Corinthians. Please turn there with me quickly. And I'll read verse number 18 with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and the verse number 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. You have to take my word for it here. Because I'm not going to try and prove it to you. That is talking about God's Word. It says there, when we behold, beholding as in a glass. When you look into a glass, what do you see? You see an image. And when we look into this book, the Word of God, what do we see? We see the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. But read what the verse says. Beholding, getting to know the Word. Beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image. We're made more like Christ. The more we take time to read the Word of God, the more we become like Him. Praying to the Lord, which I've mentioned. How do we become more Christ-like? Being baptized, attending the communion table, knowing the Word, praying to the Lord. Now how does praying make you more like Christ? Well, what are you praying? What are you asking the Lord for? Are you not asking the Lord that you would be saved from your sins? That you would be sanctified? Are you not praying that you would be more than Christ? Surely if you're a child of God, that'll be your desire. To be more like Him.
1 John 5 says, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. When you ask according to the will of God, you'll have an answer. And it's God's will for you to be like Christ. I'm child of God, the more you pray that, the more you will be like him. These things are all the will of God for you to do. You don't have to ask the Lord for guidance on any of these things. You don't have to ask the Lord, should you be baptized? Should you be at the table? Should you read? Should you pray? You don't have to ask the Lord about those things. God has said you do them. But I want to go one step further here. I want to suggest this to you, that there's no point in praying for the Lord to give you further guidance on what you should do in this life if you're not doing these things which he has clearly revealed. Why would the Lord show you anything else? Why would the Lord show you a greater sphere of service when you're not even doing the things which God has clearly set out in his own word? These things are God's will, and they're made clear to us. Time has ended. Let me just say the second thing I wanted to leave with you. I'll just state it. First thing was doing God's will, and it's clearly revealed in the scriptures. The second thing is knowing God's will, because sometimes the Lord directs his people to do that which is over and beyond these clear things which I've just mentioned. May it be the mission field, ministry, whatever. How does the Lord lead? Well, three main ways. There will be a desire placed in your heart. The word of God will confirm his call to you, and the Lord will open a door to do it. You don't get one or even two of those things without getting all three. The desire in your heart, the word of God to confirm it, and God opening a door. It's all three or none at all. If you only have two, you don't have three, it's not God's will for you to do whatever it is God has planned for you. Doing God's will is clearly revealed in the scripture. Knowing God's will above those things, well, I've just told you how we find that. Let me just say here in conclusion, let me just draw your mind to the Lord Jesus Christ again. Because what did he do? He did the will of his Father perfectly. And that led to a powerful ministry. That led to a perfect obedience. But it also led to a painful death. Doing God's will doesn't guarantee you an easy ride. I know people often joke, being a minister one day a week, it's pretty dossy, it's pretty easy, it's an easy journey. The only people that say that aren't ministers. I know we often joke, we can say, if you want your young people to go into the ministry, don't tell them what it's like, or none of them will be in it. God's will doesn't necessarily mean it'll be an easy ride or an easy journey. But I want you to look at this. Obeying God's will might have its times of difficulties, but you look with an eye to eternity and look what Christ has accomplished in obeying the will of his Father. Look at what the Lord has done. Because he obeyed the will of his Father, men and women, you and I are saved. What if you and I did the will of the Father? What if you and I set ourselves to do our part to accomplish God's will in this earth? That is the salvation of his people and their sanctification. Perhaps this land would be turned right upside down. Maybe you've never even thought about what God's will is in this world. I hope, if nothing else, you've got that this morning. It's God's will to save his people. It's God's will to sanctify them. And if that's what God's doing, men and women, that's what we need to be doing. And may God give us the grace to do just that.